Debbie.
Hey, Bobby, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. And welcome to you and the Upside of Down. My name is Bobby Hoadley. I'm an applied behavior analyst talking about behavior with my friend.
I'm Kathy Knights, and every time we get together, I learn more about behavior. And this week sounds like fun. We're going to go back to one of those old adages, two wrongs don't make a right. Mm-hmm. Or if you can't beat them, join them.
Right.
All right.
Okay. And these are attitudes that we're running into all the time. In society, as people exercise more choice and control over what they do from minute to minute and day to day, and are more used to accessing reinforcement whenever they want it, it turns out that people will often think, well, you know, it's easier to go with the flow and the folks who maybe I don't agree with or I don't think are particularly ethical, or their behavior is kind of bad, sad, or rotten. But you know what? They're the ones exercising the influence. So, you know, why wouldn't I get a piece of that?
I think that I understand that a lot. Sometimes you just get so exasperated for trying to take the noble path, and you get mistreated in some way, and it's sometimes quite easy to just be rude or mean or retaliatory back.
So one of my favorite shows where you kind of see that happening is The Orange is the New Black,
the
Netflix
that
series.
It's
oh, my
show.
Goodness, it is a good show. I really enjoy it, and I enjoy it for a number of reasons. I think it does a really good portrayal of behavior and an understanding that behavior is a learned history, a way of learning to survive and adapt to the environments that people live in. It's a show about criminals, but it never invites you to judge those people.
I do notice that there, especially as we learn about the backstory of so many of the characters, that it helps us understand that everybody has a story. Nobody does something, an isolated incident. There are so many things that lead to it. And you would say that it was a learned behavior that had been passed down over generations, and that they get put in situations where their behavior is impacted by all of the forces around them.
Absolutely. Everybody has good aspects. Everybody has bad ones. You know, I truly believe that anyone will do a better job if they know how, that nobody goes out of their way to make their life harder or cause others to hate them if they know how to do that differently.
And one thing that we learn watching that show is that sometimes these people that end up in Litchfield, in the jail, don't have the skills or the behavior ingrained and taught to them to know how to make them a better person. And so they tend to sometimes make their situation worse.
Right.
In their interactions with the others.
Yeah, they do. In the most recent series, some of the folks that you thought in the beginning had scruples or principles and weren't corruptible are being corrupted. And yet others who seem to have all counts against them in this sad old world are having redemptive moments in their learning how to survive and helping each other to survive. It's just such a good show in showing how it is that two wrongs really don't make a right. That if you see things going poorly or something bad is being done to you and you take retaliation, it really just takes away from you as well as the person you're retaliating against. That there is no redemption in retaliation. There is no redemption in punishment. The redemption comes in the generosity that we can put out a hand and help another person through the next minute or through that day.
So you're saying that if somebody is bad to me and I'm bad back, nobody wins. But if you keep running up against those people time and time again, I mean, don't you eventually just, like you said earlier, join the pack and follow along like those lemmings going over the cliff?
Yeah, it's a hard thing not to do, really.
It really is.
It is, because if you're, like in the last season, I hope I'm not giving anything away, where Caputo is just tired of trying to help people who kick him in the teeth, right? Oh, he's tired of it, and so he becomes a suit.
That's right.
You know, and he turns on on his peeps.
We learn through the backstory that time and time again, he did what he thought was the right thing. He was trying to work for other people, and then he just kept getting beaten down and beaten down. Yeah. And it's right, at the end, it kind of looks like he's going to go over to the dark side and be a bad guy.
And at least he'll make some money, and there'll be some reinforcement, because nobody's reinforcing his altruism or his kindness.
So we couldn't beat them, so we joined them.
Yeah, exactly. When I feel like that, when I feel like, oh man, it's hard staying on top of my own behavior in an ethical or scrupulous way in a world that can be so unscrupulous and lack any rewards for people for their altruism or their kindness. You know, I think it's something that generations ago was something that everyone aspired to and everyone wanted for themselves and their children. Now, sometimes I think there are really negative connotations around that. That comes from these ideas that two wrongs might make a right, and that if you can't beat them, join them, because there's no access to good reinforcement otherwise.
It's kind of a sad commentary on our world, isn't
it? It is, but you know what always cheers me up is Daniel Goleman. He's the guy who wrote Emotional Intelligence.
Okay.
He wrote a number of sequels. I think it was in when he did on social emotional intelligence. In that book, he just made a point that has always resonated and stuck with me. And whenever I'm feeling really down, like maybe I should be a little less principled or ethical, I remember what he said. And what he said was, there are bad things that happen. There are bad people in the world. It's the way it goes. But the world turns. The world turns on the small generosities and kindnesses between people. The fact that people want to be good and do good for their friends or their families or their societies. So far, those acts so outnumber the weighty evils that are out there that honestly, the world could not continue to exist if it weren't for the true goodness in the hearts of everybody. And Orange is the New Black kind of shows that there's nobody who's all bad. There are people who have behaviors that they don't understand or that just happen because that's what they know,
sure.
Right? But I like to believe, I don't like to believe it, I know it to be true through behavioral science. If you can do better, if you know how to be a better person, to garner the esteem and reinforcement of others and the admiration, you will. And it doesn't mean that you have to be a retaliatory person or a person who goes to the dark side,
sure.
Right? You don't need to go to the dark side to have success.
In that prison, there's no one helping them recognize those behaviors or guiding them to change those behaviors. It's accidental in a way if there's redemption or there's a fall from grace.
Absolutely.
So if we bring it on in home and we're talking about you and your practice and people that want to make those changes and their behaviors are leading them to do things that make it difficult for them to function in the world. How can you affect that kind of change?
Well, interestingly enough, I know. I can tell that it's weighing on you even just to have this conversation as it does me, right? We're sort of saying, okay, here's the human condition.
Yeah, like how do we fix it?
And guess what? It sucks. I know. And I've also, I've said to you, and telling isn't teaching. It's not like I can go in my practice.
Be nice.
Exactly. Now it's time to be nice.
Stop hitting them.
You won't get what you want if you do that. I mean, I can say it, but it's not meaningful. It's not going to change anybody's behavior. And there's that also that understanding that when you fly in the face of somebody's behavioral conditioning, right, they're going to reject you in a minute.
Of course.
Because what they know, what they do, they know to be true. It's an integral part of their personality and who they are. They're just not going to, because I say, well, if that's the result you want, then you got to do it differently and this is how. I mean, that's just not going to work. So, no, I don't do those things. But what I will say is there's a flip side to the if you can't beat them, join them.
What do you mean?
That's what I do. I can't beat them. I know that. I can't make anyone behave the way I want them to or the way I think they should. That's an exercise in futility. Nobody makes someone else behave.
Well, certainly in the Litchfield prison, they don't make them behave, do they?
No, we know punishment doesn't work. We know that just haranguing someone doesn't work. We know that those things are not going to change behavior. So basically, when I get a new client or a person who comes ready to say, I need something different, things have to happen different, or the people around them are saying that, the first thing I do is join that person. I take away all resistance to who they are and what they're doing. I suspend all that resistance and I say, look, it's not working for you. Let's work together to find out what might for you. But I accept that what's going on is a way of coping for them. It's how they learn to survive.
Right.
It's how they learn to interact with their environment. And maybe it's not even relevant in the current moment in time, just like some of those prisoners, right?
Right.
But behavior can imprison us because of our learning history. Right. And when we learned it, that's how we learn to respond to those situations. It's all we learn, and we never expected it to bite us in the butt like it seriously does sometimes, because it was relevant when we learned it. And if we haven't learned something else, that's all we have. So the very first thing I do is take away all resistance to that person and what they do.
But that must be hard for all the other people involved in that person's life, because they're used to putting up the resistance, I guess.
Well,
telling them to stop.
Yes, they are. And we're horrible as a society. We're blamers. Blame, right? I see you do something I don't like. I'm going to blame you to your core for being the person who did that. Or I personally don't like what's going on. I'm going to look outside myself for someone to blame.
Or blame ourselves.
Or sometimes people are too far in the other direction in terms of self-blame.
Right. It's all my fault.
Right.
They wouldn't have done that if it hadn't been for me.
I know. Which is crazy, too,
of course.
We can't make people behave,
right?
So that, you know, whenever anybody says, well, they made me do it, I'm just like, that's scientifically impossible. Sorry, it is. it really is. They can trigger you. They can elicit what you know. But in the end, you've got to say how my behavior adapted to this situation. Maybe there's another way. Maybe we need to try another way. And that's the only place I will go with someone, is not to say, you know, I get that this is who you are and this is what you've learned and this is what you do, and that it seems to you that that's all there is, and everybody wants something else out of you, and so you want to blame them and they want to blame you. Well, you know what? All that retaliation, it's the worst for all of you.
And I guess it's not about changing the behavior of one person. It's everyone has to
adjust
and change.
Yeah. So if it's at all possible, I don't know whether I mentioned, but we only work with adults and adolescents, and we tend to work with a lot of people with good intellectual capacity, right? So when it's at all possible, part of what we'll do when we work on, okay, so what's going to work for you, right? And what are you able to practice, and what can we put in place that will get you good reinforcement so that you'll go in that direction the next time. You'll use the replacement behavior. Very often we'll want to teach the person how to direct the environment better. So their presentation is one that may elicit the wrong behaviors in others. So what we want to maybe teach them how to say something like, oh, I'm sorry, I know that came across poorly, but I didn't mean it that way. It's just my disability. Or sometimes I don't always understand situations or things like that. Or I'm a little disinhibited because I have an acquired brain injury, you know, but an open explanation, or to recruit reinforcement to say, how well did I do? or how did I do on that? Just to find out when you can't read the environment very well, which many of my clients with disabilities cannot do, getting them to actually check things out in the environment in a very honest and sincere way will really recruit the reinforcement in the environment for their efforts.
That right? sounds like a very scary thing to do, though. You have to you reveal some vulnerability.
Okay, so you see all the prisoners.
Right.
How much more vulnerable can you be when you're a prisoner? When you're a prisoner to mad, bad, sad actions, interactions, reactions.
But then you don't...
That's an awful vulnerable place to be,
you're
too.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But who do they reach out to for their reinforcement of how am I doing if they're surrounded by people who...
Usually, people who have disabilities have better support than that. And the people who are maybe blaming and angry about things also would much prefer a better way. I mean, the blaming, angry stuff, that burns out caregivers. It burns out staff who are there to help, right?
I can imagine.
So really what we're trying to do is turn the environment into a much more altruistic, kind, generous environment with better opportunities for everybody positively engage. So that's what we're working on. So we don't just work with the one individual. We work with all the people around them. We try to help everybody to be more mindful, to understand, to stop resisting that person. And blame is a huge part of that resistance, right? Stop pushing back against them, but understand they're expressing needs that must be met. And there are other ways that we can give that to that person without reinforcing the challenging stuff. You know, it's a tool we use. There are lots of tools we use, but differential reinforcement is a key one, almost always included in what we try to get the environment to do, is to stop making assumptions, stop looking for blame, stop retaliating, stop looking at what's wrong with that person, and start seeing their behavior as an adaptation, and that our role is to help them adapt in a different way to a new environment, one that's more kind and understanding. So always that's the crux of our work, is to do that. In that way, you know, we never try to beat them. We always try to join.
It does to me, it sounds just a little bit too Pollyanna-ish.
No, isn't it nice?
It is
I love
nice,
my work.
And I just feel like they're like unicorns and flowers. But the real world isn't like that. The real world is dog eat dog, and only the strong survive, and you know, money is power and power corrupts. And
well, I'm afraid there are people who would like you to believe that is true. There are Fox News, actually CNN, news people would, you know, because that stuff sells news, right? And that's that, I go back and remember our conversation about how talk is cheap.
Right.
You know, that may be a form of pollution, as far as I'm concerned, in our human condition, to actually make it harder for us to find the ways to get through our day with kindness and generosity.
But many of us would want to be kind and generous, and yet we're still not necessarily being helpful to a person who needs some adjustment in their behavior. We kill them with kindness a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's and a different
that's
story.
Well,
is that
no.
another podcast?
It may be another podcast, I'm afraid, because it's true. Sometimes we over-accommodate, and so we're not setting up natural contingencies for people to learn how. And in my practice, we're not trying to teach people how to live in a fake world. We're trying to create the real one with real contingencies. So we're not promising that things aren't going to be sad, bad. And, you know, it is the human condition. But certainly if you're living with a vulnerability, then you should be able to live with good support and you should feel safe and okay in your world. And I'd like to think that we all deserve that. And that if all of us become mindful of some of these behavioral issues, that we can make our worlds better. Because you know what? There's only one person whose behavior we can ever, ever, ever control. And it's our own.
Well said. Okay, I can't beat you. I am going to join you.
Yay! Let's have a hug.
Oh, dear.
Come on.
What have I created here?
Just a little hug.
Okay, well, that's definitely the upside down. We'll see you next time, Bobby.
See you next time, Kathy. And thanks for listening to The Upside Down.